This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today, and we thank you for listening. We want to look beyond American politics for a moment at the top of the show to an absolute crisis in Syria. Civilians are being killed as the bombing has intensified in the besieged rebel-held district of eastern Aleppo. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says dozens of people were killed over the course of the last couple of days as Syrian government forces and allied fighters advanced further into the city. The Assad government's bombing campaign has also damaged hospital facilities. There are currently no working hospitals or clinics in eastern Aleppo. The World Health Organization estimates that more than 250,000 people are now without critical hospital care there as the war rages on. Dr. Rola Hallam is a British Syrian doctor and founder and CEO of Can Do. That's a not-for-profit startup that helps transform health and humanitarian responses in war-devastated communities.
So I literally just got off the phone to them. I mean, what is happening right now is this generation's Rwanda. Civilians are literally being targeted and killed, 200 killed just inside the last 4 days. And five of the hospitals inside Aleppo have been bombed and put out of function. And now 275,000 people do not have access to any healthcare whatsoever. He described it as a catastrophic situation. They've sent out a big SOS to all aid workers and humanitarians around the world to try and do everything we can to help.
So we should be clear, this appears to be an intentional strategy of the Assad government and its allies to target these hospitals and clinics.
Well, Physicians for Human Rights have been documenting the targeting of healthcare in over the last 5 years, and they've documented nearly 400 attacks on hospitals and healthcare facilities. They say that 97% of this is by the Syrian regime and now Russian forces. And then, of course, there are other targets by other rebels, ISIS, and other armed groups. And it would appear to be used as a weapon of war, a strategy to disrupt healthcare in order to empty these areas of the civilians.
So we're talking about the eastern part of the city of Aleppo, which is rebel-held territory where these clinics and hospitals are being destroyed systematically. What are people in that eastern sector doing now for medical care? What do they do?
Basically, there are some very small little kind of first aid clinics that are there. Otherwise, people are being treated in like medical teams, you know, homes in their basements, just complete patchwork of just trying to bandage what they can. But essentially, there are no facilities to carry out any major surgery, which, as you can imagine, when there is intense bombing happening, there are so many injured. And there is actually literally no facilities to treat those. We need an urgent humanitarian corridor in order to allow more equipment and more supplies in so that we can continue to try and save these lives.
And what is the state of medical materiel in Aleppo, and how many trained doctors and nurses are there even left?
Right. Okay. So there are approximately 30 trained doctors left in eastern Aleppo. And of course, there are nurses and aid workers alongside that. You know, like we doctors and healthcare workers, we're really useless without our tools. We can have the knowledge and the skills, but unless, you know, I'm an anesthetist or an anesthesiologist, so, you know, unless I have my equipment, I'm not going to be able to anesthetize you. And with eastern Aleppo being totally besieged at the moment, we're not even able to get supplies in. And that's not just for medical supplies. There's no food and water being allowed in. And the UN a few days ago said that there are 20 days left until Aleppo citizens will starve to death.
The Assad government rejected a few days ago the latest truce proposal for Aleppo. No aid is getting through, as you mentioned. So it seems to be that their strategy is to basically starve out eastern Aleppo and cause its surrender here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a medieval tactic and it's been used sadly in so many wars beforehand. And I think, you know, this is the time. It's not just eastern Aleppo. You're talking about 4.5 million Syrians who are in hard to reach areas where we cannot get them aid access. This is outrageous in this day and age. And I think this really falls upon the United Nations and the member states to say that this is unacceptable, what is happening. And it's time to intervene and stop this silent killing.
Have groups like yours gotten any affirmative responses from the UN or from the US government, the British government, any other institutions that are trying in their own ways to push back in Syria?
To be honest with you, I don't see that there is a serious political will to stop what is happening. I think there has just become so many vested interests with this becoming an international war on Syrian soils. I don't see that any governments are doing anything behind paying us Syrians lip service. I think that post the Trump and the Brexit dramas that both our countries have had, I think there are many people who really want to rally behind a positive action to do some good. And I would love to be encouraging people to say we can all still do something to stop this massacre. We need to be speaking to our politicians and policymakers to say, this is our Rwanda. This massacre cannot be continuing to happen. We need to stop the killing. We need immediate humanitarian corridors. We need to generate that will and pressure to do something, because this war will stop, right? Like every other war. But it just requires our kind of renewed efforts to really push for that to happen, and urgently.
However, it seems like given the current state on the ground and in eastern Aleppo, that the Assad government and its allies don't have much of an incentive to relent on their strategy here. I hate to say that it appears to be working.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's working beautifully, isn't it? You know, and that's just it's a disgrace for the international community. You know, the United Nations is meant to be our international body for peace and security. And I think this really requires a deep, hard look at the United Nations and how it works or doesn't, in order to say this should not be allowed to happen. We've said time and time again, never again. And here we are. You're right. I don't think there is an incentive. And that's why that renewed political will really needs to come in.
Dr. Rola Hallam is a British Syrian doctor and founder and CEO of Can Do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.